Have your Bibles tonight. 2 Samuel. Really want to speak to you on one word tonight. And the word affects us all. It's called bitterness. Now the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 19, husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Apparently, there is something innate in men, husbands, that we can not love our wives like we ought, and we can hold things in our heart. So it specifically says in Colossians chapter 3, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Love protects from bitterness. But if we don't love our wife like we should, we're not fulfilling the law of Christ that he specifically said, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. So it's imperative that we love our wives, but it's also imperative we don't hold things in toward our wives. Maybe they did something and we don't handle it right. That's what I want to go over tonight. How to handle an offense. Now, the word bitterness, the word pikros in the Greek text, it literally is it's sharp. It's to prick. It's something that pokes us. It hurts us. You could say it's like a splinter. It is something that we don't think about all the time, but when we do think about it, it hurts. And so I want you to notice tonight, it can happen, number one, how does bitterness happen? Well, it happens with an offense. Something that happens. It's an event that happens. All of us in this room, events happen in our life toward a brother, a sister, aunt, an uncle, a mother, a father, a husband, a wife, a child, to parents. All of us have events happen to us that stick. They stick because they hurt. What do we do with them? Well, I want you to notice it can happen with an action, something that someone does to us. Something that someone does to someone we love. And so we take up the offense and we become bitter. It can also be something someone was supposed to do and they didn't do it. It can be a non-action. Now, I want you to notice, if you would, I want to take just a minute, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 13, if you would. And I want you to see this as an action. We're going to look in a minute at a non-action, but I want you to see an action. You'll notice in chapter 13 that Amnon rapes his sister Tamar, and she goes back in shame to her family. And you'll notice in verse number 20, this is 2 Samuel 13:20, and Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. Is thy brother a guard? Not this thing. Don't worry about it. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now watch this. Verse 22. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar. Verse 23, and it came to pass after 2 full years. So I want you to notice an offense happened. It happened to someone that someone Absalom loved, his sister. And he couldn't let it go. It stuck in his heart. Now, anytime bitterness happens, it happens usually because the other person does not say, I'm sorry. But sometimes if it's a non-action, you can't say you're sorry because you don't even know what happened. So bitterness can happen to all of us. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to, if you would, 2 Samuel 16. And I want you to see a non-action. Something you didn't do, but somebody's bitter toward. Notice, if you would, this is David. He's running from Absalom, taking over the kingdom in verse number 5. 2 Samuel 16:5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei. Verse 6, and he cast stones at David. and at all the servants of King David. And notice, if you would, verse 7, thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, O thou man of Belial. A man of Belial is a wicked man. Verse 8, the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of thy Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. If you'll remember, David had been good to Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son. He hadn't touched Saul when he could have killed him. He didn't touch any of Saul's family. This man had a non-action in his heart, something that never happened, but he took up an offense that David took the kingdom away from Saul. And so he's upset at David because he wanted to be in the lineage of the king. So he's bitter toward David for David doing the will of God. Sometimes there's no explanation for bitterness from the person that is receiving the brunt end of it, just like David. But I want you to understand tonight that bitterness can happen in all of our hearts. It can be a decision that your boss made that affected you negatively, and it causes you to have a pain and hurt toward him. He doesn't even know it, but there's bitterness in your heart. And you'll notice an offense happens, an event happens that is an offense to us. Now, original word for an offense is a stumbling block. It's a log laid in front of us. It's something we trip over. So he says, you've got an offense. It's a beam in the eye. You can't see around it. You got to get it out before you can ever be whole again. You got to move this log before you can ever be whole again and walk correctly. So you'll notice this offense happens. It can be an action you did. It can be a non-action that you didn't do. It can be something you did that affected someone negatively you don't know anything about. But I want you to notice what happens, the way bitterness happens. Number one, an offense happens and we internalize it. We begin to think about it. We begin to roll it over in our minds. That was wrong. I can't believe he did that. I can't believe she did that. That was unfair to me. Doesn't he know that? Can't he see that? That's unfair to my sister. That wasn't right to my aunt, to my uncle. That wasn't fair to my brother or my sister. That wasn't fair to my parents. That wasn't fair to my son or daughter. And then that should be punished. That should be corrected. And so then it sits in our heart and it lays there. And you can tell anytime there's bitterness in your heart. And here's the test. You hear that person's name, and something happens inside you, and it causes you to be irritated. It causes you to be a little bit angry on the inside. The hair on the back of your neck stands up. And you know what I'm talking about. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:10, the heart knoweth its own bitterness. We know when there's somebody that when their name is mentioned, something happens in our heart. Now, at that point in time, we've got four choices. And I want you to notice that throughout Scripture, men and women have been making these four choices for millenniums. Number one, we can avoid dealing with it. We can just say, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm not going to think about it. But it keeps coming up in our mind. We lay in bed at night, and from time to time that event comes up, that name comes up, that person comes up. And we have to battle a little bit to get it out of our mind or to change the subject of our mind. Maybe we're talking with other people and their name comes up good, and boy, it stirs us up. and we want to say something bad. We want in our heart and mind say, if you only knew. And in David's case, he had no clue that Shimei was upset. Could have never known. We didn't know how many of Saul's family was upset. But it's that old bloody man. David never killed anybody of Saul's family. Matter of fact, he protected them. Mephibosheth ate at his table. So you can still do what's right and somebody can be offended with you. And you may never know it. But the person that's carrying the bitterness will know it. They'll know it because that name, when it's mentioned, it stirs them up. And so tonight, if there's a name that's mentioned, or if, your husband comes home, or it's a subject that happens and all of a sudden in your heart, you get stirred up towards your husband or towards your wife, you're bitter. If that name's mentioned at school and all of a sudden it just bothers you, there's a bitterness in your heart. There's a root of bitterness. And you and I have to do something about it. We can just say, I'm not going to worry about it. And I think Absalom, I don't think Absalom had the plan. I'm going to wait 2 years and then I'm going to pay Amnon back. I think he just tried to say, one day I'm going to pay him back. I don't know when, but I'm going to pay him back. One of these days I'm going to make him pay for what he did to my sister. That is classic bitterness. It is that you've internalized an offense that someone has done either to you or to someone you love, and you won't let it go. It's stuck. And so you want to somehow pay them back. Now, the second thing we can do, we can try to consistently, a little bit, pay them back. In other words, we make snide comments. We do that usually to our mates. We'll make a sarcastic comment. And they may or may not know what we're talking about. But there's a hurt in our heart that we either have talked about briefly or we've complained about, but we haven't settled it. Or they may not know. I think David came home from rejoicing about bringing in the ark, and Michael walked up and said, oh, well, the king was shameless today. He had no clue. And so you and I have to be careful, number one, that when we notice there's a root of bitterness in our heart, that we don't tolerate it. Everybody in this room has roots of bitterness that get into our heart. It's just like every yard in America, birds fly over with seeds, wind blows seeds of weeds, and you can have the perfect yard, but unless you keep the weeds out, unless you aggressively do something, you spray the yard to keep the weeds out. You go out there and pull the weeds out one at a time when they pop up. Unless you do something, eventually the weeds will destroy the yard. And bitterness will destroy the heart. I'm going to give you some examples of that tonight. But I want you to understand, when you and I, the number one thing we got to do is recognize there's bitterness in our heart. Is there someone, anybody in this world, workplace, someone that sits beside you, someone you just don't like. And so in your heart, there's this something toward them. It's a root of bitterness. And you got to do something. You can't just say, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm going to leave it alone. I'm just going to not worry about it. Because if it's a root of bitterness, it's just like having a splinter in your finger. It doesn't go away. You got to get rid of it. It's either got to come out one way or the other. And so you'll notice, number two, we're going to consistently try to pay them back or make comments or try to keep them from advancing. If it's at work, we're going to do something to make sure they don't forget it. So we're going to make sure we say those comments like Michael did to David. We're going to make sure that they know, like Shimei did. He stood on the other side of the mountain and cursed David and threw rocks. He wasn't doing David any harm. He was on the other side of the valley. He could have thrown rocks all day long but never hurt David. But he wanted David to know that he was angry with him and that he deserved punishment. Is that a feeling that you have toward anybody on earth? That wasn't fair. They need to be paid back. They need to be corrected. They need to learn a lesson. Number three, we can forgive it. Now, this is when we just choose to say, I'm going to send it away. The word forgiveness in the Greek language is a beautiful word. Aphemi. Phemi is to send away, is to send. And the alpha negative at the front means to send it away. To send it far from me. So if I'm going to forgive someone, I'm going to forgive them and send it far away. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us, send it far away. And can anybody name me some of the places that God puts our sin according to Scripture? Can you name me some of the places God puts our sin? Number one, the depth of the sea. The Marianas Trench is 7 miles down the depth of the sea. Somebody else? As far as the east is from the west. Two points that don't exist. They're rays going in the opposite direction that never meet. So God is saying, look, I have taken your sin and thrown it away. It is far from me. There's one other one that I like. Well, there's two other ones that I like, but one in particular, Joe. Behind my back. I can't see it. I'm not going to look at it. I can't see it. So God is trying to get us to understand that I'm going to take your sin and I'm going to send it away never to see it again if we confess our sin. Now, you know, there's sometimes if somebody comes up to you and says, I'm really sorry I said that. I'm sorry I did that. Now, confession is the great eraser. And if you know you've done something to hurt your family, to hurt your mate, maybe you didn't mean to do it. It doesn't matter if we meant it or not. The idea, is it there? Has it stuck? Has something stuck? Anything stuck? Then I'm going to go to them and say, look, I'm sorry. I'm going to go to them. I'm going to forgive it. I've got to go to them and say, look, will you forgive me? You and I, that's the great eraser. Everybody in this room has got to practice the great eraser to help people forgive something. But in the end, we have to forgive it. We have to forgive it, A, because somebody asked us to, or B, because God expects us to. Now, B, God looks at all of us in this room and He says, I want you to hold no grudges. I want you to hold no beams in your eye. I want you to forgive everyone. I want you to live completely clean. Now, folks, tonight, one of the reasons there's not sweet marriages is because there's something in that marriage that has gone unforgiven. There's a root of bitterness. And two people can sit right beside each other and smile, but they know, the heart knoweth its own bitterness. They know there's something there. One of the greatest things in all the world is to be married to someone when there is perfect harmony. And there would be times when Susan and I would sit down with each other and say, honey, is everything all right? Have I done anything? We just check from time to time. Sweetheart, if I offended you in any way, I know that you let on nothing, but I just want you to know I want things to be completely right. Is everything okay? Oh, yes. She was so concerned that, like I told you, on her deathbed, she looked at me and she said, honey, I just want you to know that there's nothing between the Lord and I that all of this difficulty in my health is coming upon me. Everything is right between the Lord and I just want you to know that. You know, I think she was trying to tell me, I don't want you to be angry at the Lord for all of this. She was trying to protect me from being bitter toward the Lord or being bitter toward her because she had done something. She just wanted me to know. I think there are times whenever you and I ought to go to our mates and say, look, is there anything I need to say I'm sorry for? You need harmony. And if there's a root of bitterness in anybody in this room, you cannot have harmony. It will come up the second your mate does something that touches on that root, and all of a sudden, ooh. How many of you ever had a tooth that hurts when you bite down on it? Anybody ever had one like that? Okay, so you get a tooth that's got a bad root in it, and or it's a cracked tooth. I've had a cracked tooth before, and I usually get them on Saturday night, just before Sunday. I've had that happen twice. And so, you know, I've got a dentist that I have to call and say, "Hey, doc, my tooth is killing me." "Okay, Saturday night, I'll meet you at the office." You know, it's just that way. The old devil puts it up on a Saturday night where, you know, when your tooth is hurting, what can you do? Or maybe you're going out to dinner and all of a sudden you bite down that tooth wrong and that pain goes, that from that little tooth goes to your toenails. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I mean, it just hurts. Well, bitterness does that to us. And we don't like the person. And if we don't get that root out, it's going to get worse. It's going to get infected. It's going to ruin the relationship because all we see is that bitterness. All we see is what they did. And that's why Shimei goes out there and he sees David going out of the city. He's throwing rocks at him, cussing him, saying, "You deserve this." All he could see was David's offense, perceived offense. Michael comes in and David's rejoicing about the things of the Lord. And Michael looks at David and said, "Oh, you are shameless." All she could see was what she thought David did wrong. And she blasted him for it. Now, we have to forgive it. The third thing you can do is forgive an offense. So you get an offense, you can sort of hide it. You can try to cover it. You can try to pass over it. But as long as that offense is there, the name comes up, it's going to be like that tooth. It's going to hurt. It's going to be like that beam in the eye. You just can't get it out. It bothers you. You can get a little peace, but never total peace. There's never harmony. Or you can say, "Well, you know, I'm not going to let them by with this. I'll just, when I get a chance, I'll just bring up the name. I'll just bring up, well, I don't know if I trust them or not. I'll pay them back slowly but surely. I'll keep them from advancing. I'll keep it before them so they can't get past it." But then there's a fourth thing. I'm going to see to it they pay no matter what. Notice 2 Samuel 13. Look down if you would. Verse 28. "Now Absalom had commanded his servants, saying, 'Mark ye now, when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, have not I, the king's son, basically commanded you. Be courageous, be valiant.'" Look down to verse 32. "So once his servants have killed Amnon, all the king's sons, 69 of them, run in all directions. They think there's a murder out to try to kill all the sons. So they run in all directions. And then David is worried about it. In verse 32, Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, 'Let not my Lord suppose that they have slain all the king's sons. Don't worry about it. All the king's sons are not dead. For Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, this hath been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar.'" So from the day Absalom heard it, he plotted to pay him back. He made sure he was going to pay him back. So he plotted it and he plotted it and he plotted it and he waited 2 full years. I don't think he planned it for 2 years. I just think he planned it waiting for the right opportunity. Now, deal with sheep shearers. Whenever they get all the sheep together and start to shear them, there's a big party goes on. They all get together. They have plenty of meat. They drink together. They party together and they have a big time. So Absalom was saying, "Look, I've got a sheep shearer. They're going to shear all my sheep. We're going to have a big party. Let all the king's sons come. David, you come too." And David said, no, don't be responsible. You're going to be responsible for all the king's sons." He said, "Well, just let Amnon and the other sons come in." And David said, and he pressed him. And David said, "Well, okay." So he had a plan in mind. He had a time in mind. But it wasn't the first sheep shearer time. It was the second, the next year. So he waited for the right opportunity, thought everybody would kind of forget about it. But isn't it amazing that when you and I are bitter towards somebody, other people know? Look down at verse 32. And Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, answered and said, "Let not my Lord suppose they have slain all the young king's sons, for Amnon only is dead." How did he know that? How did he know that from the day that Tamar was forced, but then he was going to pay him back? How did he know that? David sort of let it slip from time to time. I mean, Absalom let it slip from time to time. He made comments. He chose option two until option four became available. You look at Cain and Abel. Cain was much less able to handle the bitterness, and it didn't take long, and he killed his brother. If you get rid of the person, then the bitterness will go away. Because the object of my bitterness is gone. That's one of the options. It's never the right option. It is a horrible option. It is a wicked option. And yet, men do this. I heard today of a family member, someone that I was talking with that said a father shot the wife and then all of a sudden shot himself. And so there's just this feeling inside the heart. You know that things happen like that because of one reason, bitterness. He did something. She did something. I can't get over it. Every time I see them, I remember what she did. I remember what he did. I want to get rid of them. And finally, we get worked up to such a crescendo that we decide I'm going to kill them. That's what happened to Absalom. Do you remember, if you have your Bible, you can remember over in Genesis chapter 27. Turn to me if you would. Genesis 27. I want you to notice this. Now notice this. This is Genesis 27, verse 34. When Esau heard the words of his father, "Look, I've already blessed your brother. He's got the blessing. I can't give it to you. He's going to be over you. He's going to have wealth." He cried with a great and exceeding, here it is, bitter cry. Notice what he chose is which option, 1, 2, 3, or 4. I'll let it go. I'll not do anything about it. You know, I'll just push it away. Notice what he said in verse 41. Esau hated Jacob. What happened? That root of bitterness went down deep to where it was never going away. There was a hatred in his heart. Same thing happened with Absalom. Same thing happened somehow with Michael toward David. You'll notice if you would. Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said, here it is, in his heart. There's where the root of bitterness goes to, all the way to the heart. The days of mourning for my father are at hand, then I will slay my brother Jacob. And you'll notice that it got known. Look what happens. Verse 42, and these words of Esau, her elder son, were told to Rebekah. You know, when we have chosen not to forgive, it always gets around. It just happens. It just gets around. And, you know, people can hear you talk about other people in just normal conversation and say, there's something between them. I don't know what it is, but I don't think he likes her. I don't think she likes him. It's obvious. You can't hide a root of bitterness. Absalom couldn't. Cain couldn't. You see here that Esau couldn't. Now, somewhere along the line, the reason why Esau was bitter was because he thought he was never going to have any possessions. That Jacob was getting them all. And if you remember, when they met some 20 years later, the Lord had blessed Esau and he had plenty of everything. So when he comes to meet David, when he comes to meet Jacob, Jacob is terrified. But Esau says, look, my brother, I've got enough. Keep that what you've got. He'd gotten over the bitterness. Somehow he had taken option three. He had chosen option four, but he went over to option three and said, I'm just going to forgive him because I've got plenty. When I see him, I'm going to treat him like my brother. And they met with each other and hugged each other. And Jacob, because he had never said, I'm sorry, was guilty. And does anybody remember what he did? He sent, divided up his two wives and put the favorite one in the back and the least favorite in the front and said, y'all go forward. Well, you know what that did? That created disharmony in his own family. Your bitterness spills out into other people. And now Leah, you know, she's frustrated. And Rachel is kind of lifted up because, you know, he loves me more. And all because of the fear that Jacob had toward Esau, his brother, because he had never made it right. So tonight, four choices. We can just say, you know, I'm going to avoid dealing with it. It'll get worse. I'm going to try to consistently keep them from going forward. I'll just say a few things. I don't want them to die. I just want to make them hurt. Or number three, I'm just going to forget it and go on. Or number four, we plot a master plan until they're out of the way. One way or another. Cain did it. Absalom did it. Now, I want you to notice this. There are some examples of all these happening in Scripture. I just want you to see a couple. Do you remember who Ziba was? Does anybody remember Ziba? Ziba was Mephibosheth's master of his holdings. Mephibosheth was Jonathan's son in a wheelchair. He was crippled. And Ziba took care of all of his possessions. When David had gotten run out of his kingdom, Mephibosheth wanted to go with him, was told he was going to go, and Ziba tricked him and lied about him to David. David never did believe that Mephibosheth was telling the truth. But I want you to notice, if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, over to 2 Samuel chapter 19. I want you to see this. Here's an example you're going to see of option three, just plain forgiveness. Now, how in the world would you forgive someone that lied about you and that said, you know, Mephibosheth is going to stay back in the kingdom because he's read now maybe the kingdom will be mine. And David said, forget it. And it sort of stuck in David's heart. David really never got over the statement that Mephibosheth wanted to be king and would expect to be king that Ziba lied about. So you notice, if you would, in verse number 24, Mephibosheth tried to do the right thing. This is 2 Samuel 19:24. And Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet David and had neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. So Mephibosheth was so grieved for David, he just didn't wash his clothes. He didn't take care of himself. He just prayed and he said, when he comes back, I can't wait to see him. David should have known Mephibosheth's telling the truth. Look what he's done. Grief over me being kicked out. Notice, if you would, in verse number 26. And he said, and he answered, my Lord, O king, my servant deceived me. Notice, if you would, verse 27. And he hath slandered thy servant unto my Lord the king. But my Lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. And you'll notice he said, verse 28. Now watch the words of Mephibosheth. For all of my father's house were but dead men before my Lord the king. It was your right to kill every one of Saul's family. That's what a king normally does, and you put me at your table. Yet thou didst set thy servant among them that eat at thine own table. What right therefore have I yet to cry any more to the king? And the king said unto him, why speakest thou any more of thy matters? I have said, thou and Ziba divide the land. He said, look, you guys just split it up and go on. I don't want to talk to either one of you. Now watch. Mephibosheth said unto the king, yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house. Do you see the humility of Mephibosheth? Money didn't matter to him. He loved David. But David made no comment to Mephibosheth and said, I forgive you. He just said, just divide the land and leave me alone. David had a tendency to not be forgiving. It cost him Absalom. It cost him his kingdom. You see, Mephibosheth, oh, he can have it all. I'm just glad you're back. How can you look at somebody like that and say, just go on? The same way you can look at Michael when she doesn't handle things right and not sit down with her. Now, this is the way he should have done it. He should have sat down and said, Michael, sit down. What happened? Let me make this thing right. Okay. God chose me over your dad. From now on, you're going to be in your house alone. I'm never touching you again. That happened. We have to protect our hearts, folks, that we are not like that. I want you to notice, Saul didn't forgive David. And David did nothing. David wins the battle against Goliath and rides in the second chariot, and the women sing the song. Saul has slain his thousands and David has 10,000s, and bitterness hit Saul's heart. And he said, what else could he have but the kingdom? And the next thing you know, he's trying to kill David. He took option four all the way along. And then when David did not kill Saul, Saul said, David, you're a better man than I. When you take over the kingdom, I know that's what's going to happen. Would you not slay my family? And David said, sure I won't. That's why Shimei was so wrong. Because Saul had tried to kill David, not David Saul. So many times things are unfair, folks. We just have to learn to forgive anyway. Everybody in this room, you're going to have to learn to forgive. When somebody says, I'm sorry, and even if they don't say, I'm sorry, we're going to have to learn to forgive for His sake. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Always remember that Jesus sought us when we were unlovable and said, please ask me to forgive you and I'll forgive you for anything. That's the way He wants us to forgive others. Tonight, would you learn to forgive people? Don't take option one, two, or four. Choose option three. I'm going to forgive it. I'm just going to send it away. I'm going to be like Mephibosheth. I'm going to forgive it. I'm going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Yeah, they did know what they were doing. They tried to kill Him, and they did. But they didn't understand what they were doing. They were killing the God of heaven. And so I remind you tonight, as I look into Scripture, and I want to close with the last one, an example that all of us can follow, like Mephibosheth. Turn your Bible to Genesis chapter 50. Can you imagine being sold as a slave like Joseph was? Can you imagine having to go through Potiphar's house, being a servant, thrown into prison, being a slave in prison? Then can you imagine becoming second in command, having everything at your power, being able to handle the world's food rationing, and then see your 10 brothers come in? The ones that you heard, let's kill him. Let's sell him. Let's get rid of him. And so Joseph is going through his mind, and I can assure you when he's in prison, Joseph is going through his mind, and he says, look, I'm going to forgive them. I'll probably never see them again, but I'm not going to think about it. And so if you mentioned their names, it didn't strike in his heart, that hair on the back of his neck. It struck a chord of, boy, I miss them. I wish I could see them again. So when they showed up and he had a meal for them, he walked out and he began to weep. He came back in and he said, oh, I've missed you guys. And he hugged them all. And they're all terrified. The second in the command of Egypt, of the whole world, is our brother. And we tried to slay him and we sold him. For sure he's going to pay us back. And what I don't understand is why for all those years. They go get the father. The father goes there for 17 years. And for 17 years, those 10 brothers did not go back to Joseph and say, "Will you forgive me for what I did?" Genesis 50. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us," because they hated him. They knew the definition of bitterness. "And he will certainly requite us, pay us back, take option four, take option two, and certainly requite us the evil which we did unto him." They sent a messenger unto Joseph. Now, keep in mind, they sent a messenger to Joseph. What a lousy idea. You don't send your mother to your husband and say, "Would you tell my husband I'm sorry?" You don't send your brother to your sister and say, "Would you tell her I'm sorry for me?" Notice number two part of that. Verse 16. They sent a messenger unto Joseph saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, ye shall say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren." And you never do that. You never say, how sincere is that apology? "Well, daddy said before he died that we ought to come tell you we're sorry. So we're sorry." All of that. Look at Joseph's response. Verse 19. Excuse me. Verse 17. "And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. It's almost like he said, "Don't y'all understand yet? It's been 17 years. I've already forgiven you." But they were guilty in their hearts. Let me tell you why. Because they never said they were sorry. Learn to say you're sorry. It's for them to forgive you easier, and it's for you to be forgiven in your own spirit. Verse number 18, "And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not." He knew the only reason they said they were sorry, because they were afraid. "For am I in the place of God?" I know God had a plan with all this. Not only spiritually mature, but he understand God makes no mistakes. What a spiritual giant. And then notice this. Verse 20 is a classic verse. We should all remember this. "But as for you, you thought evil against me." I know what you did. "But God meant it unto good, to bring to pass and to save as this day, to save much people alive. Now, therefore, fear not. I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. So we find a way to settle bitterness. Comfort people that ask you to forgive them, whether it's sincere or not, and speak kindly to them and forgive it. Tonight, is there a root of bitterness, no matter how small, in your heart toward anybody on earth? When their name is mentioned, "Well, she does this. Well, he does that." Go to them. Sit down. Tell them their offense, but tell them you forgive them because you love them, because you love him. Tonight, whether they ever say, "I'm sorry" or not, Mephibosheth forgave Ziba, but he never asked for it. Joseph forgave his brothers, but they never asked for it correctly and didn't ask for it at all for 17 years. So tonight, let's learn to forgive. Have harmony in your home. Let's pray tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play a verse of invitation hymn. Maybe there's a name that when it's mentioned, you think of it. It creates angst in your heart. You can think about what they did. Forgive them. Forgive them whether they ask or not. And the Bible says if you know somebody has ought against you, you go to them. You just go to them. If you know somebody's upset with you, you go to them and say, honey, I can tell there's something wrong. Would you forgive me? You just don't let it lay. You take care of it. You ask for forgiveness or you forgive. Tonight, if there's anything in your heart toward anybody, let's start March with clean, harmonic homes. Lord Jesus, speak to our hearts tonight. In your name we pray. Amen.